Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you another week with Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we're one day closer to the time when he is going to come back and have the millennial reign of 1,000 years. And some people have a problem with that, but it mentions it 6 times in the book of Revelation, right together. And it's talked about all through the Bible. And I was just reading the other day in Isaiah where it talks about God judging the earth. And then right at the end of the time of judgment, it talks about Christ coming and setting up his kingdom on Mount Zion. That's why today, in some circles, Zionism is almost a cuss word, but that doesn't bother us at all. The devil doesn't like the idea that Jesus will come back and rule over this earth for 1,000 years and straighten out all the problems that man could not solve himself. And so the devil will set up his kingdom I think he gets about 7 years or something like that, and then the Lord knocks him off his high chair, and he comes back to rule. Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion, and Jesus will come back, and he will be the king. God says, yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And it says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Doesn't matter if people don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. It hurts them for not believing it, because you must believe it to go to heaven, but it will still happen anyway. And I want to talk about the successful Christian life and some of the things we need, and then also apply it to the Bible. We call this program Equal Time. Now, some people can't understand why we make such an emphasis on the words of the Bible. Well, we talk about the words because God makes emphasis on it. If you, from cover to cover, God is very much concerned about the words in the Bible, the words being perfect. And you see this idea, and I'm going to quote Psalms 12, 6, and 7, and it's typical of the scripture verses all through the Bible. It says in Psalms 12, 6, and 7, it says that God himself will take care of his words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so God has preserved his words, and God has given us his words, and that we're talking about where the words of God are. And the Bible's very clear as to where the words of God are. And we'll tell you ahead of time, the words of God are found in an authorized King James Bible. Now, we start the program. We have Brother Clark Block with us, and then Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And he's going to give a little scientific report and then mention about the time of the service of his church. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you again today. I just want to mention real quick, of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there or also listen to us online. We're on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then Sunday nights from 11 o'clock until midnight. And so it's good to be a part of the program today. Wanted to look at something, and I'm going to start in a place that probably wouldn't make sense for this topic, but it's in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, we read, starting in the first verse here, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, most people read through that, and we talk about that in terms of the prophetic nature there, the binding of Satan for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ and all that. But there's a scientific truth that's hidden in that. And that scientific truth is something that a lot of people didn't believe at the time that this was written, and that's that the earth is round, that it's a sphere. And a lot of people probably miss that. They don't see that there. Let me give you another Bible verse here in Isaiah chapter 40. This is a verse that's usually put forward to show the earth is a round sphere. It says in Isaiah 40, starting verse 21, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity." Now, the book of Isaiah was written back in probably around, well, Isaiah was writing and ministering around 700 to 680 BC in that general time frame. And he wrote about the circle of the earth, which was talking about a round planet, or the earth being round, and a sphere. Some people try to criticize that, but there's other passages that indicate that as well. But here's my point with Revelation chapter 20. If, as some people believed at the time that Isaiah wrote, and at the time that John was penning down the words of the Revelation, that the earth was actually a flat disc on the back of some elephant standing on a sea turtle, then how would you have a bottomless pit? Think about this for a second. You say, well, if the hole went clean through the disc of the earth, it would have no bottom. It would go out the other side. Okay, how would that bind? How would the devil be trapped bound in a bottomless pit? Because he would go through the hole and out the other side, and then he'd be free to do what he wanted. Even if he's still bound, he's not going to be in the bottomless pit because he'd go out the bottom. But think about it. By way of analogy, if you're on the North Pole, every direction that you look is south when you're standing directly on the North Pole. And if you have trouble understanding that, get a globe, put your finger on the North Pole, and you'll see every direction from the North Pole is south. Every direction from the South Pole is north. There's only one direction. So when you're standing on the earth, if you were to dig a pit and just keep digging, and let's say that you had the means of digging all the way through the crust, which we've never actually done, and into the mantle of the earth, and keep going. Well, we don't have the technology to do that, but for our thought experiment here, we're going to dig all the way through the mantle of the earth. And as we go through the mantle, we come down to the outer core of the earth, and we keep on digging, and finally we reach the inner core. And we've been going down the entire time. It's always down. Now we're at the exact center of the earth with our imaginary hole. Can you go down any further? No. The only direction you now go is up, so you keep digging. But now instead of going down, you're digging up, and you're digging up to the other side of the planet. So if you dug a hole that went all the way through from one side of the earth to the other, it would go through the exact center of the earth, and then let's say that you jumped in that hole. Well, you would fall, and you would fall, and you would fall, and you would approach the center of the earth, and then you would start going up towards the other side of the earth, and then eventually you'd come to rest at the center. Every direction would be up. You'd have no bottom. There would be no bottom. If this location was located at the center of the earth, which is a place that we have no means, that technological means of reaching, we have no way of getting there, we have no direct knowledge of what's at the center of the earth. Scientists theorize that it's a solid iron nickel core, but we really have no real knowledge. It's all inferred from various things. But let's say that inside of that core, inside of that nickel iron shell, let's say, it's open, an open space. If God was to put the devil in there, there would be no bottom. Every direction would be up. He'd be certainly bound and confined to that location until God would allow him out. Perfect location for a bottomless pit. But again, as I said, it says that the devil is bound and tossed into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. To have a bottomless pit, it implies that the earth is a globe, a sphere, just like the Bible says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and even Job alludes to that. And yet people try to say that people who who believe the Bible have to believe that it's a flat surface, a flat earth. But in fact, the Bible has abundant evidence that the earth is a sphere. And as Luke chapter 17, starting verse 34, the Bible says, I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, I tell you that in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. It's talking about the rapture and the catching away of the believers, and two men in one bed, that implies nighttime somewhere. Two men working in the field, that implies that they've gone out to work during the day in the field. Two women grinding, it implies that they're grinding and preparing food for an evening meal, and all that happening at the same time implies that different times of the day, but all at the same time, because the earth, again, is sphere. Right now, it's daylight in some parts of the earth, nighttime in other parts of the earth. It's around noon in some parts of the earth. It's around midnight in other parts of the earth. It's 6 in the morning somewhere, or near 6 in the morning, or 6:30, or near 6:30 in the evening somewhere, because we live on a sphere, just like the Bible says. Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth."
Thanks very much, and I always enjoy those reports. They're really good. And, you know, we have to put that on the website that you could get these programs. Can we do that?
Yeah, it's on the website, Recorded Programs, and I didn't give that website earlier. Whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find the recorded programs there and information about Bruce and his ministry.
Yeah, you know, just those scientific reports every week, I think they're really great, and it can be a blessing and increase a person's faith, you know. And then we give the prophetic reports of what's going on. And, you know, we were talking about this, that Christ is going to rule from Mount Zion, and we see the whole world now is disturbed about Jerusalem and Mount Zion, see? And the Bible says that the armies of the world are going to come to Jerusalem and attack it. And at that point, the Lord is going to destroy them and then take over the planet from there. And so once again, we see that prophecy is getting ready to be fulfilled because the world is so interested in it. We know in the book of Psalms, it says, when the Lord builds up Zion, that would be Jerusalem, he will appear in his glory. And so he's telling us. And Jerusalem was just 100 years ago, some little, we would say, hick town or something where hardly anybody was living, you know, and today it's the center of world attention because Christ is going to come back and rule from Mount Zion, which is where Jerusalem is at. But I want to talk today, what do you do to be a successful Christian? You know, I remember a number of times before Brother Davis was pastor at his church there, I spoke there a number of times. And I remember that there were some elderly ladies that went to that church, and they were very old. And they were the most enthusiastic people in the church. I mean, they were really on fire for the Lord. And yet they were probably up around 90 years old, and they were excited and interested and so on. Well, how do you become like this? And I think that's good for some of us. We're really getting up there in age, and we want to go out like those ladies went out, you know, and met the Lord, being enthusiastic and excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Psalm 1, we'll talk about that, and it has many good things in it that we're going to talk about. Now it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, first of all, the word "get blessed," people say sometimes that refers to happiness or joy or something. And a person can be joyful, but blessed, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So obviously his definition is either giving or receiving something is what blessing means. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." That is the person that doesn't listen to what the unsaved people are saying, the ungodly people that have nothing to do with Christ. Don't pay attention. Don't be reading books by them. Don't spend time listening to what they're saying about things. Now, I'm not knocking. Sometimes I'm curious and I'm interested in what goes on in the world. But some people, they're reading New Age books, or they're reading all kinds of stuff that they should not be spending time reading. I'm not real interested in what the secular world has to say. You know why? I got a book right here, the King James Bible, that is written by the creator of this universe, every word of it. And why would I be real interested in what man has to say when I, the creator of the universe who made everything in it and is running the universe, I can read what he says and what he thinks. And so a lot of times Christians are hurt because they're spending too much time listening to either TV and what the TV guy says, or the newspaper, or the educator or someone says. Now, if you don't spend time listening to that, the Bible says you receive a blessing. Blessed is the man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That is, listening to what the ungodly says about things. They don't know. The Bible says it's not in man to direct his ways. And I'm telling you that the psychologists, psychiatrists, and all of these people, they don't know what the truth is. They don't know the secrets to life. They don't know the secrets of man getting along together. They don't know the secrets of why we're here, where we came from. And most of psychology is just heathen philosophy. And you study the psychologists, if you spend any time, they were mixed up themselves. Now, it says, they walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. They're not listening. They're not listening to what the sinners say. I mean, they're not, you know, sometimes people that have good marriages, I've heard this a number of times, and yet they are going to the hairdresser and they're listening to what the other women are saying. And while their marriage is okay, when they get done spending time with them, their marriage breaks up too. You know, they're listening to people that have not had successful marriages, and they're listening to their advice, and so it breaks up their marriage too, see? They're listening to the Bible says, the ungodly. They're and it says, standing in the way of sinners. In other words, they're listening to what they're saying, they're talking to what they're saying, and it influences them in ways that are unproductive and that are hurtful. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, how this fits in with our program in today with the modern Bible Babel. And you know, it astounds me how that people in the evangelical circles, including pastors and preachers, can be involved in what they're being involved in. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we are to all speak the same thing. And yet, one guy recommends one Bible, the next guy you listen to, he recommends another Bible. The next guy's correcting the King James. They don't correct the counterfeit Bibles, by the way. You never hear that. They're always correcting. The reason they correct the King James is because King James is the authority, and that puts them over the authority. Sometimes they'll even call it the Word of God, and then they correct it. I thought, boy, they're really smart. They get smart enough to correct God. If it's the Word of God, how you dare correct it? That means you're smarter than God. And then you got all this advertising, you know, going on, and then one guy gets up and says, this is an unfortunate translation again, and he says, should read like so-and-so, you know, and so you have today mass confusion. And that's why we have this program. We call it the Equal Time, because God has given us his words. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver found in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then it says they sit in the seat of the scornful. And I know one. You know, they wouldn't like this if I say this, but I've heard a number of reports. There is a university called Bob Jones University, and they had on their desk there says, don't use only the King James Bible for speakers. But then they were teaching the preachers, and some of the teachers, they were mocking the King James in class. And, I mean, they may not do it now, and I hope they don't. And they've got people that mentioned this, but it became common knowledge. And they got their professors, a number of these professors came right from Princeton University. And at Princeton, they were getting their professors from Germany, from the individuals in Germany, like a guy named Bauer and some of the other individuals. They were talking against the word of God, and they were actually promoting the Nazi agenda. And so they have these things, little humorous things. And one person says, "Well, I just heard that this week on a station. I'm not going to mention it today, but they were saying, well, there's people out there. They think Jesus wrote the translation, you know, and so they're laughing about that. And then the one story they tell over and over again. This old lady says, well, it's good enough for Paul. It's good enough for me. And then everybody's supposed to laugh, you know, at her ignorance. Well, the King James Bible is based on the text that Paul used. Paul was sent out as a missionary from Antioch. And the text behind the English translation is called the Antiochian text. And so they have these little funny stories, you know, and they ridicule people that believe the Bible. Now, the Bible says, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, you cannot separate the words of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're saying already these other versions, they disagree with each other in thousands of places. The words don't mean the same. They're not synonyms. They take out many, many verses. The New ASV, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Bible, it's not the same. It's not an updating of the King James. It's a corrupt text from what is called the Alexandrian text. They call it the eclectic text, and all the modern versions are based on it. Why do they use the word eclectic? That means because they disagree in thousands of places. And they use the old Vatican and Sinaiticus, which were put out by Constantine, and these two disagree in 3,000 words. You've heard us mention this many times in the past. Now, it says here, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. Now, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, where are him and his words? If you say the Greek text, nobody has the originals today. We have all copies of copies. And the verses about inspiration, 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, from a child thou hast known the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What did Timothy have? Did he have the originals? No, he had copies of copies. But he had the scripture. And if we have the scripture today, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And how do we know? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Every corrupt translation that comes out, the saints reject it. And most of them you haven't even heard of. But the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Now, how are we successful? It says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There it is. You meditate on God's word. You think about God's word. And I can tell you time after time when problems come into my life or when some reason I'm depressed or something, I can read that Bible. And brother, I'll tell you, it is the living words of the living God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. And he said the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. He's going to guide us into all truth. First the apostles, and then the saints of God, his saved people down through the ages, and he will guide them into all truth. We don't believe that the King James Bible has any errors in it. It is the word of God, and it is all truth. And you don't want to listen to people that mock it and correct it. One day they're going to answer to the Lord. But you need to read it, listen to it, study it. And I'll tell you something, God will make you a successful, fired up Christian, even though you're old. And when you're young, it says the young man should be weary and utterly fall, but they that wait on the Lord, you wait on him. Read the word of God and study it and meditate it and memorize it. And we have it today. Jesus said, it is written. He never talked about the originals that they don't have. Nobody has the originals, and they don't have the original Greek text. We have the original English text in the authorized King James Bible. And God will bless you for believing it and reading it.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.